Let's read together Hosea chapter 6. Now in this chapter, we begin with the good news concerning Israel's future, but then we return to the sad news concerning Israel's condition at the time of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, let's begin by reading verses 1 through 3 of this chapter. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Let's begin our study of Hosea chapter 6 now with some background notes. The theme of Hosea is God's redeeming and steadfast love. This theme emerges not only from the prophetic messages that Hosea preached, but it also emerges from Hosea's own life. God used Hosea's domestic life as an object lesson to illustrate his own relationship with his people Israel. Hosea ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century BC. At that time, the northern kingdom of Israel was quite strong militarily and quite prosperous economically, but morally, they were weak and corrupt. They were not only guilty of social injustice, but they had committed spiritual adultery. They had turned away from the living God to worship false gods. And the worship of these foreign gods, it even involved physical fornication. This was in association with the fertility rites of these false pagan religions. In order to drive home the truth of what Israel was doing, God had Hosea marry a woman named Gomer, who turned away from Hosea and ended up as a prostitute slave. What a vivid illustration of what Israel had done in turning away from the Lord. But God still loved Israel. And in order to illustrate that redeeming and steadfast and loyal love, God had Hosea buy his wife back from her condition as a prostitute slave and then reestablish his love relationship with her. All of this, you see, was an illustration of God's relationship with his people Israel. We believe that God's reestablished love relationship with Israel is still yet in the future, but it will come. And that's what the first three verses of chapter 6 are all about. So let's move then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Hosea chapter 6. Doctrinal point number 1, God desires to heal rather than to hurt. God desires to heal rather than to hurt. Verses 1 through 3. Back in chapter 5, verse 14, we read that God would have to hurt Israel. Look back at verse 14 of chapter 5. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one shall rescue. Hey, let me tell you, to be torn by a lion with no one to help is a lot of hurt. Would you agree? But now the good news begins in verse 15 of chapter 5. Verse 15, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Israel was not dead. They were torn and hurt, but still alive. And in their affliction, they will acknowledge their offense. They will seek God's face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek the Lord. What a perfect description of the present status of Israel. Over the centuries, Israel has been torn and hurt, but miracle of miracles, they are still alive. The Jewish people have not disappeared, in spite of their scattering around the world, in spite of the pogroms in Russia, in spite of the Nazi Holocaust, in spite of anti-Semitism around the world. And the Jewish people are returning to their homeland after many years. The secular state of Israel has been reborn. But Israel has not yet acknowledged their offense. They have yet to seek the Lord's face. When the Jews returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon, they did not diligently seek the Lord, as predicted here in verse 15. In fact, they rejected their Messiah. This is why we don't believe these verses before us have yet been fulfilled. So they have not yet been fulfilled, but they will be fulfilled. The story is not over yet. The nation of Israel will yet come to the place of Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. And when that spiritual revival comes, it will take place in a relatively short period of time. That's what verse 2 is all about. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. This is the Hebrew way of saying a relatively short period of time. I don't think we should practice bad hermeneutics here and equate 2 days with 2,000 years on the basis of 2 Peter 3:8. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. No, 2 Peter 3:8 is not an equation giving us the right to plug in 1,000 years everywhere the word day is mentioned in Scripture. That would be bad hermeneutics. That's wrong interpretation in reference to these days here, as well as the days of Genesis 1, by the way. So Hosea 6:2, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up. The phrase after 2 days and on the third day is a Hebrew expression meaning a short time. That's the point. When Israel's healing begins, and it may be in the near future, it will all come about in a relatively short time. And it will happen. There's no maybe about it. Just as sure as the sun comes up every morning, verse 3, so the Lord's love relationship with Israel will be restored. It will be like a time of refreshing rain, verse 3. What a great time that will be. God desires to heal rather than to hurt. Now, what is true of God's relationship with Israel is true of God's relationship with individuals. God would much rather heal than hurt. But sometimes he must hurt us for our own good, to keep us from sin, to keep us from hurting others, to turn us around, maybe even to bring you to the place of receiving Christ as Savior, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer. You can only experience God's healing from sin if you turn to the Lord when you're hurting. God's desire is to heal rather than to hurt. Doctrinal point number 2. God delights in loyalty rather than sacrifice. God delights in loyalty rather than sacrifice. Verses 4 through 11. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? Judah was the southern kingdom, you remember. For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy or loyalty and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people. Israel's faithfulness was like a morning cloud or early dew that is very short-lived. Verse 4. I hope that's not the way our faithfulness is, like the morning dew, the mist. The prophets had pronounced judgment as clear as the light of the day. Verse 5. But the people just continued to go through the motions of religion. Verse 6, God delights in loyalty rather than sacrifice. When loyalty to the Lord is not there, all kinds of sins follow, as we see. Israel broke their covenant with the Lord. Verse 7. The cities of refuge were no longer havens of safety, but places where your very life was in danger. Verses 8 and 9. Ramoth Gilead was a city of refuge on the east side of the Jordan, and Shechem was a city of refuge on the west side of the Jordan River. Most likely, things were so far gone and had gone so far down in the northern kingdom of Israel that most likely the corrupt priests were demanding payoffs with a threat of death to those who were trying to escape to these cities of refuge that were to be havens of safety. And of course, there was the harlotry and fornication being practiced in the pagan shrines scattered throughout the land. Israel was defiled, verse 10, and they would be judged. And the southern kingdom of Judah, verse 11, would also be judged for her sins, because she too was disloyal to the Lord. God delights in loyalty rather than sacrifice. You see it there in verse 6, right? I desire mercy or loyalty and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That word that's translated loyalty or mercy in some translations, that's that word in Hebrew, hesed, which is usually translated, King James Version, loving kindness. There's no English word that really does justice to that word. It combines the idea of love and mercy and loyalty. That's the main idea here in this context. Steadfast, loyal love. Are you loyal to the Lord, or do you just go through the motions on Sunday morning? Are you loyal to the Lord when it comes to what videos or TV programs you watch? Are you loyal to the Lord when temptation comes? Are you loyal to the Lord when you're alone and no one is watching and no one knows? Are you loyal to the Lord behind your outward show of godliness? God delights in loyalty rather than sacrifice. And practical application. Let us press on to know the Lord. Let us press on to know the Lord. Right from verse 3. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord, or let us press on to know the Lord. This will be Israel's desire in a coming day. Is it ours now? How well do you know the Lord? Are you pressing on to know the Lord? How well do you know the Lord? Do you know Him as Savior? If not, you can start that relationship today, right now, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and committing your life to Him for salvation. But let me ask you believers here this morning, how well do you know the Lord? Are you getting to know Him better every day? You can, but it's not automatic. You must read and study His Word. You must spend time in prayer. So it's a good question for all of us, isn't it? Where are we in our relationship with the Lord? Let us press on to know the Lord.